pleasing life to Him. Father, thank You that You're so willing to help us out. You didn't leave us orphans, and we thank You for that, Jesus, that You sent another helper who was like You. In every way, the Spirit of God reflects who You are, and He can open up our eyes and our mind and give us understanding into Your Word until Your Spirit enables us to know and understand what the Scripture says. We remained spiritually blinded. I thank You that the veil has been removed for us in Christ. Might You help us to behold this morning wonderful things in Your Word. We ask that You would instruct us, Lord, how we can live and order our lives in a way that would be fully pleasing to You in every season and every circumstance of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Bible makes it clear that there is a seasonal aspect to our lives. Just as we experience four distinct seasons throughout the calendar year, we experience differing seasons within our life. Seasons of hardship and seasons of rest. Seasons of advancement and seasons of being on hold and waiting. Seasons of sorrow and seasons of great joy. And there's even differing seasons and how the Lord grows us and matures us and works within our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And when I look back upon my own life, I can see that there has been differing seasons in my life on a whole scale level. Seasons to my own life in general and seasons to my own life personally in regards to my relationship with the Lord. Now, looking at my life generally, I can see there was a season when I was a baby, when I could do absolutely nothing on my own and I had to depend upon my mom. I don't remember it. My parents just told me about it and I saw some pictures. But there was a season in my life that it was so. And then I started to gain mobility and there was a season of me just exploring and knocking stuff over and my mom having to pick me up and do these things. Then there was the school years. I dreaded those years. I remember even in second grade counting on my fingers how much longer I had until I graduated. And I was in shock because I was holding up more fingers than I was how old I was. I was like, no. But the Lord used those. Those can even be broken up. Elementary school years, middle. They're all different. Different seasons of our life and how things were panning out. Even moving out of the house. There was a time when I was single. A time when I was married without kids, and now married with kids, all different seasons within my life. And as a Christian, I can look back and I can see God's sovereign hand guiding my walk and my relationship with Jesus Christ. He has faithfully provided for me during every single season of my life, and He's always prepared me for the new season that was coming up ahead. When I first came to faith in Jesus, there was a whole new season of joy and just a burden of guilt gone to know I'm actually going to heaven. Like this is a real deal. I don't have to worry about it. I know I'm going. And there was joy in that. But there was a bunch of junk at the same time holding me back in my life from my past. Just a ton of crud that God needed to trim away in my life. So there was a season of pruning that happened. Getting rid of old friends that could care less about following Christ. Getting rid of things that I was involved in so that my relationship with the Lord could move forward. And He consistently placed me in situations which would force me to choose between my old way of life or walking afresh with Jesus Christ. And then through that season of pruning came another season into my life where He began, just instead of trimming away everything, pouring into my life a bunch of different things. I got a new job as a Christian. My very first job as a Christian, I couldn't have asked for a better job. I delivered car parts, and that's where I discovered Christian radio, namely 107.1, and I'd listen to Bible studies all morning long while I was driving car. I got paid to like go to church. I'm driving around. I'm learning the Bible like never before. It was an amazing time. I still had no Christian friends, and then I heard about a Bible school that was going to be happening at the church I was going to. I said, no way. I want to do that. And then God began to place into my life Christian friends. In fact, some of my very first friends, Lee was my very first Christian friend I ever made, and Scott, soon thereafter, I became friends with him, and these people began to feed into my life. God knows what is needed for us. Every season has its purpose within our life. And God is using every phase of our life to shape us and to conform us into a vessel that's going to bring us glory. Each season has a distinct purpose. And you need to know this. No one season lasts forever. No one season lasts forever. Every season will come to an end, and a new season will dawn into existence. There is hope in that. There's hope in that. Especially if you've been going through a very long and difficult season in your life, and you're ready for change. Now, Jacob has been serving under his uncle Laban for over 14 years there in Padan Aram. Padan Aram. I can't even say the name. That's all right. We'll move on. Two back-to-back seven-year stints, he's been serving his uncle for both of his wives. And I'm sure that Jacob did not plan on this season of his life lasting so long. But God had indeed used this time to work in Jacob's life. God was shaping him into the vessel that he desired him to be, and he was rooting out the trickery that was in Jacob's life by using the trickery that was in his uncle Laban's life. And all the while, God had been sustaining him and providing for him and his family as he was there in that land. But the time has come for a new season to fall upon Jacob's life. And he knew it. Padan Aram, where Jacob was currently residing, was not God's final destination for Jacob. Jacob knew where the Lord was calling him to dwell. You recall back in Genesis chapter 28, the Lord revealed to Jacob back in the promised land as he slept there in the field in Bethel when he saw this wonderful vision of a stairway going up into heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. God made a promise there in verse 15 to him. He said, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." God promised him he would bring him back. And Christian, it might take some time for God to work in you and prepare you for the next season of life that God has in store for you. But you need to know this. God is going to be with you every step of the way. He will keep you wherever you go because you are His child. You have been sealed with the promised Spirit of God. And He has taken up residence within your life, and He is going to keep you until the very end. And not only that, He is going to prepare you and equip you in this current season of life that you're living in for whatever new season He has coming up in front of you. There is no question whatsoever that God has led Jacob to Padan Aram. God did it. That's where He wanted him to go. But it was time for this season in his life to be over. The time had come for Jacob to return to the promised land. Look at verse 25 here in Genesis 30. He says, "And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." Now, I love the heart that Jacob has for the calling that God has placed upon his life. The only land that Jacob's family ever owned in the promised land was a burial site. That's all they own. The field that Abraham had purchased with a cave on it from Ephron the Hittite. Jacob not only demonstrates his faith in the covenant of Abraham by saying, "Send me away to my own place and my own country," but it also reveals Jacob's deep passion and complete ownership of the calling that God has placed on his life. Jacob had fulfilled the intended purpose for which God had brought him into the land where Laban and his wives were living. He brought him there. Why? To marry a woman from his mother's family. And he fulfilled the obligations that he tied himself to while he was there. And he fulfilled them honorably. He worked the full 14 years for both of his wives. That is why Jacob says, "Give me the wives and my children for whom I have served you. And let me go, for you know the service which I have done for you." Jacob could honestly say, "I have rightly fulfilled all my obligations to you. I've done what I said I was going to do. I've lived it out. I've fulfilled what I needed to do. Now let me go." And this brings up a few good points when it comes to a seasonal change within our life. Now, granted, sometimes a change of seasons in our life will just come right on us. Like one day it's, you know, we're living, it's fine, it's warm, and then all of a sudden, whoa, winter's here. What in the world just happened? There's other times when we're in a season of life and we can begin to sense like, something's taking, I don't know why it's such a long summer, but it, right around the corner, a new season's going to be coming. And when we can sense that change is about to come, when we know God is about to end what he's doing in our life currently and bring us into something else, there's a few things that we should keep in mind. One, we should seek to fulfill what God has in store for you in the current season he has you in. You should seek to fulfill that. You should seek to get out of it all that God has for you. And you should fulfill the obligations that God, that you've made while you're in that season. And you should fulfill those obligations honorably. And now here's this. I know that we might not always have a crystal clear reason why God has us in the current season that we're in. I know that. God had Jacob here in the land, and Jacob knew exactly why he was in Padan Aram. But that's not always the case. Jacob knew why he was there, and that was to get married. And there are times when we're in a certain situation, we know exactly what it is that God wants us to do, and we should seek to do that. But there are times when we don't know what it is that God is up to. Job had no idea what God was up to when he lost everything he owned, when all of his kids died, when his health was removed from his life. He had no idea what God was up to. But here's the thing. He hung in there, and he eventually found out why. The sole reason God had him in that situation was simply to trust in his sovereignty. He got no better reason than that. He had no idea what was going on in the background. It was simply just to trust the Lord. And here's the point. Whether we understand what God is up to or not, we should seek to fulfill what God has in store for us in our current situation. Because God is up to something important. So whether you realize it or not, you need to hang in there. And you need to seek to do what it is that God has you to do where you're at. Does that make sense? I feel like it didn't make sense. But hang in there. Seek wherever you're at in life right now. God is up to something important. He wants to accomplish something in your life. He wanted to do it in Jacob's life. He wanted to do it in Job's life. Jacob knew what it was. Job had no idea what it was. But God eventually worked in their life his intended purpose during that season of time. Now, Jacob was given Rachel, his true love, after just 1 week of being married to Leah. But he had promised to work for 7 years too, right? And he did. Even though I'm sure the temptation was there for him to bail on all his obligations, Jacob fulfilled his commitment to Laban and he worked diligently as unto the Lord over his entire duration while he was there in the land. And all too often, we can be tempted to leave prematurely the season that God has us in because we know that that's not ultimately where he's called us to be. I know I've been tempted to do that, but we need to make sure that we leave our obligations honorably, and that is going to go a long way to guard you against a premature departure from what it is that God wants to do in your life. It might be time for some of you to change your job. Maybe you've been contemplating it's time to change our job, or it's time to move to a different house or location. But perhaps the circumstances are a bit unbearable at the moment. And you're beginning to think, you know what, let's just do it. Let's pull the trigger and do it. But you need to hang in there. If there's obligations you have to people around you, you need to make sure until you can fulfill those obligations in an honorable way, until you just jump ship to what it is that God has in store for you. Jacob had been treated poorly by Laban on a number of occasions, so you can only imagine all the things that were tempting him to leave the land immediately. But Jacob made sure that when he left doing everything that he needed to do. He made sure everything on his end was in check, and he made sure that he had done everything he needed to do as unto the Lord, and that brought glory to God when he was about to leave, and it rightly satisfied all the obligations he had. Now, if you can sense the time approaching for change in your life as Jacob did, you need to be sure to leave the obligations that you have to people, to bosses, to friends, to family members, whatever they are, you need to make sure you leave those things as much as it depends upon you in a peaceable way, in a finished way. And whatever season of life you're in, you need to ask the Lord to help you get out of that season exactly what he wants to accomplish in your life. Verse 27, and Laban said to him, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Oh, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it to you. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. So the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own family? When it comes to moving your life in the direction that God has in store for you, there will always come resistance. There's always going to be resistance. When God wants to move you into the next phase of your life and you're ready to go, there is going to be resistance. Laban was even willing to increase his wages as a servant as long as Jacob stays. Hey, let me make it a little more comfortable for you. You should just hang out here. You don't need to go on to what it is that the Lord has in store for you. And I have seen people derail their walk with God in the name of a promotion. Now, I'm not saying that all promotions are bad. I'm not saying that raises are bad. Promotion and pay increases can be a good thing. And they can be from the Lord. And God might even use those to direct you to the next phase of your life. But if a promotion sidetracks you from doing what it is you know that God wants you to do, then let's just call it what it is. It's not a promotion, it's a demotion. That's a demotion. It doesn't matter if someone's paying you more money. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, that's a demotion in life. Jacob knew where he needed to go. He knew he needed to get back to the promised land. He was married now. He had fulfilled the reason he was called to be there. And now it's time to go. And I have watched friends receive a promotion at work, come and talk to me, and they're at a spot where they're marriage was already not doing so well, and their new job was going to involve a lot of traveling, a lot of going around, so he's going to miss a whole bunch of church but get paid a lot more money. And he was convinced it was a really good idea, but everyone that was around him, all the brothers in Christ that he knew, were speaking into his life, this doesn't seem like it's a good thing. You're barely getting back on track in your relationship with your wife, and you're going to be missing church all the time? I mean, it's one thing to miss, I'm not legalistically, you know, if you miss a day or whatever, you're out of here. But there is something about being in fellowship and being connected to the church body that is right for our own growth. The Bible says so. So when he started saying these things, it dawned on everyone that was outside of the situation, this is not a promotion. This is going to be a demotion. He took it, and he made more money, but his relationship went down the tubes. His job started being on. It was a mess. It was a huge mess. So make sure you distinguish between those times. There's going to be things that are going to come your way that are going to derail you from what the Lord has in store for your life. And you just need to outweigh them and say, is this something that's going to help me get where God wants me to go? Or is this something that's going to hold me back? And if it's something that's going to hold you back, even if it's tied with more fancy things like more money, let's call it what it is, a demotion, and cut those things out of our life. Jacob no longer wants to be Laban's servant. And so he says to Laban, and now, when shall I provide for my own house? I don't want to be here simply for you just to provide for me in a greater way. That's what Laban's saying. I'll make sure you got a nice place to stay. I'll take care of you. But Jacob's going, yeah, but when am I going to provide for my own family? You've been providing for me because I'm your servant, but that's not what I want. It's time for me to go. I want to be free from you. So Laban says in verse 31, all right, what shall I give you? What am I going to do? Jacob has depended upon Laban for all his provisions up to this point. And when he came to the land over 14 years ago, he came by himself with nothing. But now he's got two wives and a bunch of kids. He's got a whole lot of responsibility. And how in the world was he going to provide for all of them? That is huge. God would need to provide for him in a massive way if he was ever to make it back to the promised land successfully. Verse 31. And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. Now Jacob makes Laban a very gracious offer, which puts Jacob in a position where he's going to need to trust the Lord to provide for him. The speckled and the spotted goats, as well as the lambs, were the ones that were less common. They're not the ones consistently coming out. The solid colored ones are the ones more consistently coming out. So this sounds like a no-brainer deal for Laban. He's going to get more of Jacob's fantastic work for a while, and Jacob's going to get paid very little for all of it. Verse 34, and Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. He's like, sweet, let's do it. And verse 35, so he removed that day the male goats, that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's lamb. Now, I believe in the past I've kind of read through this incorrectly, just in a cursory fashion. And when I've done that, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth in regards to what Jacob does next. But what Jacob does with Laban's flock isn't really in bad taste. It's really quite fascinating, and it demonstrates Jacob's faith in the Lord's ability to provide for him for the next season of life that God is bringing him into. Because Jacob said he would pass through the flock. You know, we read through that earlier. Jacob said, "Let me pass through and I'll remove them all. And I'll gather all the spotted and speckled ones as my wage." So when you get to verse 35 and you look at the personal pronoun he there, sometimes you could be tempted to think, well, maybe that's referring to Jacob. You might think that he being spoken of there is him, but it's not. It's Laban. And look back at verse 34. "And Laban said, 'Oh, that it were according to your word.' So he removed." Laban removed all the male goats that were speckled and spotted. And what did he do? Laban gave them to his sons. And if you need further proof of that, in verse 36 it says, he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. It didn't say Jacob put distance between him and Laban. It's Laban going in and taking them all, and he's stacking the deck in his favor. What he did was he agreed to this deal and said, "All right, you can go ahead and do that." And then what does he do? Immediately, he's out in the field. "Let me take all these and I'll give them to my sons. There you go. Okay, now whatever speckled and spotted offspring you get, that'll be for you." He's making it so that there's not really going to be a chance for any of the offspring to be speckled or spotted. And he's setting some distance there. Jacob makes a sweet deal with Laban, and Laban stacks the deck in favor for himself, removing all of these goats and lambs, and gives them into the care of his own sons, so that it would be rare for a speckled or spotted lamb to be born. Now at this point, Job could have just called the whole deal off, right? You would think, what in the world? I mean, he is being a trickster again. I can't believe this guy. But he doesn't, because what is he going to do? I mean, it's not like he's going to come down and find like the lawyer in town. "Hey, I'm going to take care of my uncle right now." No, he's going to trust the Lord. He's going to trust the Lord to work through this all the more. And he heads out into the wilderness with nothing, not knowing how he's going to provide for his own house. Jacob decided to trust the Lord to accomplish the impossible, and he allowed God to prepare him and provide for him in his upcoming needs. Verse 37, "Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled the white strips in them, and exposed the white which was on the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face towards the streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flocks." Now, I'm sure you guys all know this by now, but you cannot get goats and sheep to be speckled and spotted by tossing in a stick that's been peeled in it. You can't do it. I mean, you could try that. I think if farmers could do it or ranchers could do it, they would love the fact that they could do that, but you can't do that. That's not how it works. It really is an act of faith on Jacob's part that he's doing this. Now, God works supernaturally to prosper Jacob, and it's God securing the means necessary for Jacob and his own family to leave Paddan Aram and move back to the promised land. Jacob knew where God was calling him to do, and he knew it was time to start heading in that direction so that he could enter into this next phase of his life. But he didn't have the means to get there. Jacob's responsibility had increased significantly. And if he was ever to return to the promised land in a sustainable way, he was going to need God to intervene and make a way possible. I really believe that the Lord wants to place us in situations like this from time to time so that he can test our faith, so that we can see whether or not he's actually really going to provide. Otherwise, there, when the time comes, if those seasons and situations didn't happen, we would take the glory away. When God accomplishes things for his own purposes under conditions like this, God is the one who gets all of the glory. There's no way Jacob can say, "I made myself rich because I had all the cool husbandry skills with the sheep and the goats." It was the Lord. It was clearly the Lord. Remember when the Lord called Gideon to deliver the Midianites? Gideon had gathered his men to go into battle, and they were already outnumbered by the Midianites. But the Lord said to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." And you would think that would be enough, but God said, "No, there's still too many. We need to thin the herd even more." And he brought it down to 300 men. And then God said, now I have what I need to give Israel victory. Because when God delivered the Midianites into Israel's hand, only God got the glory. And there are going to be situations in our own life where we're going to have to completely depend upon the Lord, and God is going to show up and provide and make it happen. That way he gets all the glory. One thing I love about Jacob is he took active steps of faith to witness God's provision. He took the rods from the trees and he peeled strips in them and he threw it in the water. Now, I don't know if God told him to go ahead and do this or not. The Bible is really silent on that issue. But what I do know is that God honored Jacob's faith. Here he has no speckled, no spotted sheep or goats, and he's going, "Lord, I'm going to trust you to do this." And he starts peeling away, and he's like, "All right, Lord, we're going to do it. Let's watch it go." And the Lord does it. The Lord shows up, and he provides for him. Now, sometimes I think we give up on what the Lord has called us to do simply because the Labans of this world go in and clear out all the speckled and spotted provision that was rightfully ours. It should have been ours from the start, and so we think, "Oh, it's not even worth hanging in there. I just give up, you know. Lord, you're not even going to provide. You're not going to do anything." No. It's worth it to hang in there. God is going to continue to provide in your life. If he is clearly directing you into a new season of life, and you think it's impossible to get there, it's time to hang in there and watch the Lord work. He will clear a way for you, and you need to continue to trust in the Lord. Jacob continued to trust the Lord, and God provided for him in a huge way. Look at verse 41. "And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they may conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys." the Lord has provided above and beyond for all of Jacob's needs. He's even given him so much that now he has male and female servants, and he's even got camels and all this stuff going on now. God has really provided for him. And even though that it is clear that the Lord did this for Jacob, even though none of the terms that of Laban and Jacob's agreement have been broken, even though Laban and his sons wronged Jacob from the get-go, it is still a hard pill to swallow when someone else prospers and you don't. That's a hard pill to swallow. Envy kicks in the lives of Laban's son. It kicks in and it poisons their view towards him, and it poisons their father's view too. Chapter 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Envy has turned Laban's once favorable view towards Jacob into disdain. He absolutely can't stand him now. Envy is an unruly evil, and it can sow deep roots of bitterness into your life, and it can even be passed on to others if you're not careful. Now, God uses this situation to trigger the event that's going to move Jacob forward to going back to the promised land. The Lord spoke to Jacob and he tells him, return to the land of your fathers. Now's the time. You have the provisions and your uncle's upset. Head on back home and I'm going to be with you. And there is real comfort in that. What comfort Jacob needed at that point. When God's word spoke into his life, God's word brought extreme comfort, I am sure. And I've come to find within my own life that nothing comforts me in a messy situation like God's word does. I may have just watched God move in a completely powerful way to accomplish awesome things, but when opposition comes my way, even after that's happened, I get fearful and I go, oh no, Lord, are you really going to be there? And God's word reassures me of his promises and that he's going to be there with me, and it brings great comfort. So when the going gets tough and I need something to cling to, I've come to find the comfort and assurance that I need the most of all comes through God's word, even more than miracles. More than miracles, more than anything, God's word brings comfort. Plus, if you're at all like Jacob and you're familiar with your past, perhaps you wonder, okay, Lord, you've done all this, but I know I'm a jerk. And I know all the stuff I've done before. You're really going to be with me? He's like, yeah, I'm going to be with you. I promised that I would be back in Bethel. And let me tell you again, I promise I'm going to be with you. And let me tell you again, I am going to be with you. We need, if you're like me, I need that constant reassurance. Because I know who I am. And I'm so thankful for the Lord's commitment towards me. An entire shift is about to take place in Jacob's life. And the Lord has prepared everything in order for that to happen. God not only has prospered Jacob financially in order to get him where he needs to go, but he's about to unify his two wives that have been bickering with one another. That is a significant event in and of itself. They never got along. Over these past 14 years, they have not got along. But he's going to use a common foe, their father, to unite them. Verse 4, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable towards me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said, thus the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said, thus the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Do it. The entire time, God has taken care of Jacob while he's tended Laban's flocks. And while Jacob goes to tend Laban's flocks, Laban comes and keeps changing the agreement. 10 times Laban changed the agreement so that it was no longer the streaked and the speckled, but just the streaked. That's what he's saying. He's saying Laban showed up and said, oh, no, just the streaked ones. They're going to be yours. And what happened when Laban did that? Only streaked ones came out. And then he changed his mind again. Oh, no. Only the spotted ones. Only spotted. Then only spotted were being born. And he's saying, he went back and forth and kept changing it and wronging me. And the Lord has provided through all of that mess the entire time. No matter how much Laban tried to wrong Jacob, the Lord saw fit to provide a suitable payment for where God was calling him next. Rachel and Leah see their father for the crook that he is. And they realize that money is more important to them than even their own personal well-being. And that is such a hard thing. That's probably a really hard thing to come to as a daughter when you think about your own dad. You know, he doesn't care me. He sold me for money. That's why he wanted me to marry him in the first place. And this whole time he's just been concerned about his money. And both of them finally get over it, at least for the moment, to go, you know what, we can be united on this. We might not get along with one another, but we're ready to head out of here with you. Rachel and Leah were in a bitter war for their husband's affection, and they didn't get along at all. Much less would you ever think that they would have hopes of traveling together. But God was even going to use the shady deals of Laban to accomplish his good in unifying these two girls. Now, men, I am convinced that if God has called you to move on to something else in your life, your wife is going to need to be on board too. You can't just drag them along. If the Lord has called you and your family to go somewhere else, your family is all going to have to be on board. Otherwise, the whole thing's going to fall apart. It's going to destroy your family. God has to work in the life of your spouse if he ever hopes to move you to the destination he wants you to go. If he's called you to take a big step of faith, he is going to get your family on board too. And you can wait for that to come to pass in their life too. You don't have to rush it and say, let's go now. And then all of a sudden your wife, your husband's going, what in the world? Why are we doing this? Let's allow the Lord to unify everyone and get everyone on the same page, and then his timing will become more clear to you. Everything that is going to be needed in order to bring you into the next season of life, God has it all under his control. He has everything in store for you and for your family and everything that's needed to shift things to bring you to the next place you need to be in life. And maybe you have grown weary of the season that you're currently in. Maybe you're ready for it to just be done and you want to jump ship prematurely. But you need to make sure that you get out of this season that you're currently in everything that God has in store for you. And you need to realize that God is using this current season to prepare you for what He has in store ahead. And if that next step that God has in store ahead of you is a big step of faith, and you're wondering how things are going to be provided for, you're wondering, is your family going to be on board with it? Are things going to line up? If God has called you to that, He will see fit to bring those things into alignment. He will. And don't give up just because there's a little bit of opposition coming your way. God will see a way to make sure that what is needed gets to you. He'll make sure that He does it. And if people are wronging you in the process, He'll make sure to take care of that too. Jacob didn't have to go out seeking revenge on Laban. The Lord took care of it. It's not our place to seek revenge. It's our place to fulfill the obligations that we've made honorably and allow God to get the glory from our life. And then He will faithfully bring us into the next season He has in store for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for showing us Your ability to work in Jacob's life. There are lessons to be learned there for sure. We thank You that You faithfully reminded Jacob all throughout the many years he was there in a foreign land that You were going to be with him. You provided for him miraculously. You sustained him even while he was just a slave to his uncle. And God, You made a way possible for him to be set free and to return to the promised land. And we thank You for that example, and we pray that You would continue to do that within our own life. And Lord, we thank You that we have an assured promise in Jesus that You will never leave us nor forsake us because of what Christ has done for us. And we celebrate that today with communion. Lord, we partake of that together in remembrance of what You have done. Might You receive glory from our life. Might You help us in this season that we're living right now. Help us to get out of our current circumstances, our current hardships, or our current season of joy and rest. Lord, help us to get out of this season everything that You have in store for us. And Lord, we know that ultimately, in this life, we never arrive at our final destination until we're home with You. So whatever You have in store for us to come, prepare us for that next season of life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.